This podcast is intended for mature audiences.
It also contains two British people talking about sex.
So what was this about you in a box?
As much as I'd love someone to put me in their box and fly off, you know, I'd absolutely love this. Talk about Doctor Who, won't we?
Hello, and welcome to Teabags and Joysticks, the kinky video game podcast. I'm Si.
And I'm Chris. And we're joined here today with Jonathan.
Hello, I'm Jonathan.
Hi, John. John is from Selfless Fetish Men. We will talk about that in a bit in the main bag of today.
Indeed. I mean, before we start, do you want to just quickly like give people kind of a boilerplate introduction? Like, what's your elevator pitch for yourself?
For myself or for Selfless Fetish Men? Mm-hmm.
For yourself.
Oh, what's elevator pitch? I don't know. I don't know. Geeky, nerdy, kinky guy from Bristol that gets involved with the scene a lot. Community-based, community-focused, and very, very pro-be yourself. I love that. I love people to be themselves. I don't know. I can't talk about myself.
It sounds like you're in the right place.
Yeah,
it does. Excellent. Well, we had a whole 10 minutes talk about Marvel before this.
We'll have
5 minutes of that later. So, shall we head straight into the tea? What's the tea, Chris?
Can you do your tea first?
Tea, Chris?
Can you do your tea first?
You want to do my tea first?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I don't think I can do tea this week and not talk about what's happening with Twitter. Because I'm a tech nerd and that's my realm. I know. So I will make this brief. Like, if anyone doesn't know this, like, how can I join you under that rock, please, once again? But Elon Musk, I don't know, has bought Twitter for $44 million. And has said that he's planning to get to work removing the bots and verifying humans. This is something that concerns the hell out of me, because whenever I hear verifying attached to social media, this is very rarely a good thing, because everyone is immediately going to jump on that inside of shall we say, non-marginalized communities, and go, oh yeah, that's a good idea, because it means we can get rid of the hate, this, that, and the other. Here's the problem with this. It means that you are creating a treasure trove of data. It means that you are creating the one thing that you really don't want to be holding unless you have to, which is people's personal details. And it means if you're in a marginalized group and you use this platform to connect with people in your group because it's not safe to be a member of your marginalized community, it means that somebody has your information because you have to verify yourself. This is not a good thing. And understandably, quite a few people have been leaving Twitter because of this. However, it's going to be interesting to see whether this is something that can actually happen. The EU have already turned around and said, hey, you may own this, you may call yourself the Techno King, but you still have to follow our rules.
Yep.
Question is, how far are those rules going to apply?
It's going to be interesting. We're going to watch all the porn stars disappear overnight.
To see Tumblr 2.0.
Here we go. Only bans. We're going to call it Only Bands. I can see it now.
I mean, it's that thing, though, because, like, there was the Tumblr exodus because they kicked us off there.
Yep.
Then now is potentially the Twitter exodus. Where the hell do we go?
I mean, it was already, like, kind of talked about even before the whole Elon Musk came about, honestly.
But here's the thing. With Twitter, it's always been talked about.
Yeah.
It's always, like, as long as I can remember, Twitter's talked about user verification or, you know, problems with content on platform, etc. Like, it's always being talked about, but no one's planned to put anything in action. Elon Musk plans to take the company private and very well could do. That's the problem.
Is it not private? I thought it was a private company already.
No, Twitter was always, Twitter was before it was purchased. It will be purchased. It's it's mergers and acquisitions. It's all, these things aren't overnight as much as the media would like you to think they are. You know, these things take time. It will go back to private. Apparently, it will go back to private. At the moment, it is publicly traded.
Interesting.
So, I don't know. My tea is basically just, I'm a little bit worried about where this goes from here.
Hmm. Well, I mean, all I've done this week is make a mechanic cry. So, yeah, that's not all. That's, I mean, that's
with the whip or with
like... Darling, what do you think? I wouldn't have him. I wouldn't use a whip on him. I need him to keep fixing my car. And if I make him scream,
just motivation.
Motivational. Of course.
Is this a porn film?
It sounds like the start of one.
Oh, look, the mechanic. Oh. You can see it now. It'll be on, what's it called? It'll be on some porn site later. No, the guy was, it's really not that. It sounds a lot better. I made it sound better than it is. Had to have my brakes replaced, and I have lost my lock nut key. So,
I mean, that sounds like a bad time in chastity, so that's as far as I don't know anything about cars.
Oh, okay. So a lock nut is basically a key and a nut put together so that people can't steal your tires. So no matter if someone, you remember, like, you used to come out and your tires were gone, they'd have stolen your alloys. The way they fixed it was putting a nut and a key in one. So they can't take your wheels off. So you can see where this mechanic would have been.
Yes, I can see where
upset.
This may become a problem.
So my mechanic spent 6 hours today trying to remove my tires so he could get to my brake pads.
Yeah, I think I'd scream at you as well.
He was not. He opened the door at the garage at about 7 o'clock this evening and was like, I'm sure he almost threw the key at me. You know, if someone went to get you that look of, if I could kill you legally, you'd be dead. is what I look like. honestly, it was.
And the sadist in you sang.
Oh, the sadist in me. No, I'm a tease, darling. I'm a tease. That's what I was doing. I made sure all the other nuts would come off except this one. Oh, just keep going. It's just tight.
Things you can say to your mechanic and
Things you can say to your mechanic, Chris, and in the bedroom. Oh, it's a bit tight, that one.
So, Chris, what's your tea?
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to say I don't have teas this week. I had one and I didn't think to save it, and I don't remember it.
So, with those teas, should we head into the bag?
Yes. Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is what today, Chris?
Bag today, we are going to talk about the Southwest Fetish Weekend and all that's associated with it. And that's why we have Jonathan here.
The whole reason I'm here.
I mean, shall we start with introducing... So this has been organised by Southwest Fetishmen, correct?
Yes, correct. That's right.
So shall we start by introducing kind of who they are and what... I guess what you guys do, etc.
Yeah, certainly. So it was a group that was established in March 2020. I know, bad timing, right? really bad.
That's kind of
really bad timing. But basically, we went up to Birmingham Fetish Men, and we saw the social element of fetish, which, you know, when you're gonna have someone tied down to your bed for a couple of hours, I say a couple of days. The limit doesn't exist. But when you're having someone tied to your bed, like, you want to meet them, you want to know them, you want to know they're not going to... Well, you want to know they're going to do bad things to you, but consensually do bad things.
But in a good way.
Yeah. In the way we all love and know. So it was like, well, why don't we don't have that in Bristol at this moment in time? We had a rubber group, which was really successful and is doing really well. But we didn't have any... You know, it's like, so the... We didn't have one that encompassed the other fetishes, because you get a lot of people that are, like, just into sports gear and some are leather. Some don't even have gear. Some of them literally are just because the gear doesn't make you kinky. It just looks hot. No. It just looks hot. Yeah, we're a group of individuals that welcome anybody. So we say anyone male presenting or male and male presenting, basically. So that that encompasses people that are non-binary, that are male presenting as well. Because we're very aware that a lot of trans people don't feel welcome at fetish groups. And obviously we are primarily for men, just because all of our members are gay men. We have looked at the idea of opening up, but that'll be a future thing. I think we're gonna get the brand out there, and then we'll potentially open up to the straights, you know, diversity and inclusion. We should let the straights in occasionally, right?
They have their own thing in Bristol though.
They do, but it's still nice to, because it's the thing I see is it's a social. Now, play events, I completely understand it kind of being a little bit, because, you know, as a gay man myself, a play event, I want to know I'm around other men that are like-minded. But for social events, you know, we could share tips, share and share alike.
That makes sense.
We've finally decided.
I think it is important to make that distinction between play events and social events. A lot of people see the scenes are only being play events, and they forget that there can be just a social side to it.
I mean, a lot of, and I always say, there is sex in BDSM, but BDSM is not sex.
Mm-hmm.
You can incorporate sex into BDSM, really easily. You can objectify someone, beautifully objectify, and you can have them tied up. Rope work is an art form in itself.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sex there. There's a naked person that could maybe naked, could be in rubber, could be in leather.
There is a
person who is the subject that's been held together in this beauty. Is it Shibari? Is it called Shibari? Yeah, Shibari.
It is. One form of it, yeah.
That's basically an art form. But there's no sex there. The sex bit comes afterwards, you know, when you finally finished your artwork.
The problem is I've never been a very good artist.
Oh, well, I mean, they said that about Vincent van Gogh before he died. Well, they did, didn't they? They used to say his artwork was awful, and now he's one of the best.
Here's the problem. If someone's stealing my rope work after I die, we've got a problem.
If somebody's eyeing up your rope work, I mean, it'll be on a porn site at some point. Put it on Twitter. It'll be gone soon.
Oh.
Oh God.
I feel like we've already.
Jesus Christ has left the chat.
Jesus Christ left the chat a long time ago.
Oh, absolutely. The best way. Best way. But no, Selfless Fetish Men, we decided eventually, let's get a weekend up, because it makes it a bit more of a special deal, fetish weekend. A fetish social is really nice, but a lot of the time, they're just piss-ups. Mm. Which is fine. I mean, who doesn't enjoy a drink? But it's also nice for people to have other events like those. So we've got a meal planned, because not everyone can drink. Because a lot of people that we're finding now have hit the drink over lockdown and are struggling to go back. Which is, you know, sad though it may be, we can help support them, and the scene can help support them through that. The fetish side of things is, the social side of things is important, that we don't, it doesn't have to be around booze, it doesn't have to be around alcohol and partying. It can just be we sit in a restaurant and have a meal while wearing gear and talking about fisting. Yeah. I don't know.
That's great.
We've got a lovely bunch of roses in the middle of the table.
Talking about fisting while eating a stuffed chicken.
Well, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. The stuffed chicken is one I tied up earlier. You know when you say a joke out loud that sounds better in your head? That's what that one.
So, sticking with Southwest Fetish Men just for the moment, so what kind of socials do you do just as a regular thing? So to not necessarily weekend, but as a regular thing.
So we go around to local gay venues and literally we just go and have a drink or a meal or... We have done bar crawls. That tends to be a summer thing, because walking around in rubber outside Can be a little bit much, especially in December, for example. So what we tend to try and do is we've done a bar crawl in summertime. We also do things like photo shoots. So one thing we all know and love, everyone loves when they get their new gear, going out and having a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Do they not? Yeah. Do they not love that? Because unfortunately. A lot of now, as much as the fetish photographers are bloody fantastic at what they do, they can sometimes be a touch expensive. So what we allow, and I mean, it's something I run personally, but I always say to people, I don't mind taking some pictures. So I'll take two or three for free, and I'll do a light, an edit light, I call it.
Yeah.
And then I just give it to them, and I go, here you go, here's some pictures, because it means they've got some content to upload normally onto our stuff. We've got stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've got something to share, and you just feel good. You know, Southwest Fetish Man is all about making people feel good about their gear and how they feel and how they. You shouldn't be buying gear if it makes you feel bad.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Fantastic. I don't and. As a photographer myself, I mean, I say photographer loosely, as somebody that has brought a DSLR camera, if I can use that to make someone feel good about themselves, I'm all there for it, because I've seen people come out of their shell. People come up to me and they've said, oh, I really want to try and get into fetish. You're really open about this. How do I do this? And, well. Just, and you know, you guide them through it. You're like, well, the first thing you have to do is just do it. And it sounds really cliche, but if you're thinking, I really want to get on my hands and knees and lick this man's boots, go up to him and say, can I lick your boots? And just do it. And the second you do it, you'll feel fantastic.
I mean, make sure he's okay with it first.
That's what I mean. You ask him, can I lick your boots? So, did I not say that?
You said just go up to him and lick his
boots. Oh, sorry. Apologies. Go up and ask him and say, can I lick your boots? And then lick your boots. If he says yes, consensually, of course. And most of the time, people will just give you an eye and they'll tell you if they're okay with it. You know, you can see it in their face normally. But seek consent and do it. If you want to do it, do it.
Seek consent, make sure you're in an environment where it's
appropriate. Acceptable. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Don't necessarily sit on the edge of Bristol, like fountains, etc. Just have a guy just like licking your boots there. You might get a few interesting comments from people passing by.
And if you're into humiliation, go for it, hon. Some people might be into that. You know, oh, look at him licking boots. You can hear their wincing smiles.
Oh God!
Wait, am I wrong?
Oh my God!
Sorry, I'm a talk box. So please, someone.
No, it's all good. So, if people want to find Southwest Fetish Men directly, where can they find you? Find the group, sort of thing.
Go to our webpage, I suppose is the best one. So, southwestfetish.co.uk. On there, it's got all links to all of our Facebook pages, our groups, our Twitter, our Instagram. It's all on there. And you can also register. So, I know a lot of people are distancing themselves from Twitter and Instagram. Yep. So, you can actually create an account on Southwest Fetish Men website. So what we've done on southwestfetish.co.uk, our website, is basically have a registration members only portal where people have to be authorized to enter. Mm-hmm. So when you register, we will get you to verify yourselves privately. This information is, when I say verify, I know you expressed concerns about this before, sign. I will talk about this. What we get is people to put their name and date of birth on a bit of paper and take a photo of them holding it.
Okay.
And the only reason we do that is because, one, a computer can't read a picture, so it's more secure. You can get people to try and download pictures, but we encrypt them all so that you can't see them. But what it enables us to do is see a person. We'll go, right, oh, that's a person. Yeah. Or what we don't want is bots accessing the back end and copying people's pictures.
Yep.
So it just enables a bit of security if people are a bit nervous around sharing themselves.
I would say you can get bots that can read handwriting and what have you, but yeah, it takes a number of effort steps to get there.
So, Dom, if we asked you about the Southwest Fetish Weekend, I'll just talk about, like, when is it? Like the basics, like, when is it? What are we doing?
Did I not go into that? Oh, dear Lord, I'm not doing well here, am I? How atrocious.
Well, you did touch on it, but sort of we're coming round onto that itself fully at this point. So, and it is worth us just quickly throwing in, if you don't mind, like, I just wanted to, like, throw out there, like, we aren't sponsored by you guys, and you guys aren't sponsored by us. There's no kind of money exchanging here. It's literally just like, hey, this is a thing that's going on. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, and there's no monetary value at all. And it's great to be, thanks for inviting me. I've really, basically, it's on the so Friday and Saturday of the, so 20th and the 21st of May, based in Bristol. Really simply what we're doing on the Friday night, we're doing like a welcome party, at one of our local bars, the Old Market Tavern. So we'll just be there in our gear, having a nice social drink, because it's important to keep the simplicity of it, I think, there.
Yep.
Then on the Saturday night is when we do everything. So we're meeting at the Bear Bar, Bristol Bear Bar, from 4 o'clock. And it will be like a closed members only party, so that people that were a bit more nervous around their gear can come in. It's the only part of the weekend where we've kind of put a miniature dress code in, just because it's private, where we want people to be around other Kingsters. There's nothing worse than being sat there and having Debbie and her friends from finance walk in through the door and just go, oh, look at you. How'd you get into that leotard then? And you're sort of looking at them like, oh, hi, Debbie. How are you?
Otherwise known as why I avoid the main strip on Canal Street.
Well, yeah, that was the main strip. Oh my God, look at me, I got to a gay bar. Woo!
Oh God.
We've to be clear, I'm in Canal Street, Manchester, not if there's one. I don't know if there's one in Bristol, but
no, there's no Canal Street in Bristol. No, we've got Frogmore Street, which isn't that exciting. Or West Street. After the Beba, we're running down to the Old Market Assembly, where we're going to have like a meal. Because what that allows people to do is, especially if you're avoiding drink, you can come do the social, have a meal, and then that gives them a good time to make their excuses and go. And then after that, we're just going to the Old Castle Green, where they've agreed to stay open until midnight, and we'll just continue having a bit of a party. And we'll see whether
people
are
obliged to drink, I would imagine.
No, absolutely not. We don't. Well, I mean, it'd be nice to have at least a Pepsi. Well, they do coffees there as well. So yeah, that we do try and keep. We've the venue that we end in is quite good, because it means you can go and have a coffee before you go home, or because not everyone will have an alcoholic beverage. So we've tried to pick venues that can accommodate everyone. We've tried.
Yeah, that's good.
We've tried. Yeah.
I was going to ask you about that. Is it fairly disability friendly in terms of the venues, etc.?
Old Market Tavern is accessible. The Bear Bar is accessible. I don't think the Old Castle Green is yet. They've just put in planning permission to put a back entrance in, which will have a ramp. As far as I'm aware, I don't know this to be true, but it's just hearsay. But I'd say it's the only venue. The Old Market Assembly does, I believe.
Right.
I think they've got an access app.
Yeah.
So we've tried to make them accessible. We've tried.
Fair enough.
So the next one, I suppose, will be figuring out, like, being a bit more active on that one. We're quite short on venues in Bristol, sadly. I mean, it's, but because Bristol is such a vibrant city and we're so forward-thinking in a way, the gay scene has kind of taken a bit of a knock-on effect from that. So a lot of people have
got right.
Because they don't need to, you know, suddenly the bunch of gays that, you know, that in your friendship group, we can go anywhere. We can go to Motion. We can go to Prism. We can go to all of these straight inverted commas clubs, and it's fine. But as a direct consequence of that, we don't have much in terms of LGBT venues in Bristol.
Right.
We are seeing an increase. We are seeing, I think, a lot of people are starting to realize they like these bars. So just after lockdown one, the Old Castle Green opened up. And that's becoming, I'm going to avoid the phrase gay friendly, but it's gay friendly, if that makes sense. I mean, they sit there and go, we're not a gay bar, but there are 8 pride flags out the front of it. So they're, you know, it's kind of like me going, oh, but I'm not gay. Swish his hair. I'm not gay. It's kind of how I'd describe it.
Fair enough.
Sorry, is that too much?
No. Dave, that's your opinion. That's your opinion. So if we were to sort of say to you kind of what would, like, I guess as like one of the organizers, like, what would you say is kind of sets you aside from, say, I don't know, like the Manchester Fetish Week, the London Fetish Week, so on and so forth?
At this stage, not a lot. I'm not going to lie.
Right.
At this stage, not a lot. We did have a much bigger weekend planned. However, there have been some venues that we were using have had some licensing issues. So they've not been able to accommodate us this year. So which is why we've then reduced it down to a free event. Going to do a paid ticketed event that was extravagant and had a Sunday event, and there were going to be bus tours, and we were going to put a real Bristol kick onto things, because, you know, Bristol's the only place in the UK I know that will stick a load of hot air balloons in a circle and light them up in time to music.
That is true.
I mean, you don't get that in, you know, I've said this to people in Manchester before, and they've all looked at me like I've been smoking crack, and I'm just going, really? But yeah, we tried to put Bristol kick on these things to really, because we're quirky. People like us because we're quirky. Sadly, due to last minute licensing issues, we weren't able to put on the event we wanted to. But we're determined to go ahead with the weekend, so we've reduced it down to a real basic thing. So it's just like a Friday, Saturday night of socializing is all we've got this time round. Come and meet us. As like, we're literally like, come and meet us with the organizers. We want to come and hear your ideas. Even come and rant at us about what the scene doesn't have, because if we can help, we'll help. Because we've got good connections to Fet Club and Raven. Raven's the other play event in Bristol that's not quite yet come back from lockdown, just because of the same licensing issues that this venue's had, because they use the same venue.
And to be honest, I think it's one of those things that, like, it being a smaller scope isn't necessarily a bad thing, because it does show that, one, there's community interest in this kind of thing and allows it to grow and become a bigger thing. But two, like you say, like, people being able to come along and sort of talk with people and go, hey, this is what we're missing. Like, that's how a community grows. That's how, like, a lot of the small community has kind of started building out. So,
I mean, what one thing that we've said in Bristol is, even if we got to the point where we could have 2,000-4,000 come, like MRM, we'd still want it to stay at about 1,000, and which awkwardly makes it become a little bit more of a exclusivity thing. But unfortunately, like, so going up to MRM, and just to clarify, I'm going to say this as like a little disclaimer. I love the work they do. They put on an amazing event and they work their damn asses off. And you can see that when you see them at the vents and they're like flitting around the place. You know, one of them's power mincing, holding a sachet of tickets. Like, you know. Yes. Am I wrong?
I've just got this vision right now of someone like walking down the RuPaul runway with just like a dress made out of tickets, runway. Just slowly taking them off and
That's
like a ticket striptease.
Write the idea down, because that's going into the 2023 edition of Southwest Fetish Men Weekend. It's gonna be me, but spoiler alert, it's me. So yeah, they do some fantastic work. But one thing that and it's only my personal experience. One thing I found is because it's so big, you lose that personability about of it. It's now like a whole festival of rubber, which is still fantastic. Do not get me wrong. I am in my element because it smells beautiful. It looks beautiful. It's shiny. I'm like a magpie at this event, honestly. Like, I want that one.
Some of the rubber is amazing.
And it gives, like, I use it as like ideas. Like the amount of times I leave Manchester Rubbermen and I'm like, now I need to have about £1,000 just to buy new rubber because I have an idea. I've just contacted, I'm pretty sure Rubber Pigs are going to tell me to fuck off, because I was like, you know, Tron Legacy, and they've got those two. I want a suit that looks like that, like for Halloween. Yep. And they looked at me like, do you know how many parts that would be? Yes. They were just, do you know how much hard work that'll be? That's why I'm not doing it myself, love. How much?
So I guess sticking with the sort of the theme of the behind the scenes, as it were, what's the thing that goes on that, like, in terms of planning and organizing that people kind of don't realize? Like, what's kind of the thing that sort of people, apart from just, oh, this popped up?
But the back end of running Southwest Fetish Men, oh, God, oh, it has to have been the amount of times I've pulled my hair out just screaming at people because things haven't been done. And it's a completely voluntary thing. None of us take any money out of this. So I can't. The annoying thing is with myself, because I'll get things done, or other people will get their work done, and one person will have just had a busy week in work, and so they come home from work, they look at what they have to do, and they go, "Yeah, sod that," and crack open the bottle of wine because it's just been a long week. We all have those weeks.
We've all done it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm pretty sure my mechanic is doing that right now. Do you know, going back to what, after spending 6 hours shearing off bolts, I think he was ready for a beer. The last thing he said to me before I left was, just fuck off and drive off. I'm going to go and have my tea. So there we go. I suppose that's it.
Making friends everywhere you go.
Absolutely. That's the only way to be. So... it's just, you can't have a go at them because it's voluntary. But it's like, we need this done. Yeah. We need this done.
I think there is a lot more work in the background of these things than people realize.
Yeah, like there's insurances. We have to make sure, like, for example, the safety element. Now, we do things like workshops at every one of our, not every one of our socials. That's a complete lie. But at our socials, we do events sometimes, like rope workshops. Like, how do you do rope safely? Because so many people will tie something around a wrist and it's so tight that it's cutting off blood circulation to the hand. So we do, like, how to tie it off so it's not too tight, how to make sure that when somebody is beautifully squirming against their restraints that they don't hurt themselves. So we have to look at the health and safety element of that, because we're like, if there's a fire alarm, God forbid that there is a fire alarm, in the middle of this workshop, and we've got someone tied to a door. How do we get them out? Everyone sees when you've had a drink, everyone always sees like, oh my God, this is amazing. We're having great fun just tying people up and chatting and socializing and drinking and then tying each other. I really love seeing when the subs get given the rope, because we always go into partners. So the sub and the dom go together because they're like, the dom will tie up the sub. And then we swap the players round. Right, so if you untie each other and give the rope to the other person, and the whole time the doms are there like, no, it's not. Oh, I don't think. And the subs are there like, yes, you are. you know they're going to hurt in the morning, but you're like, it's so, you know, when you know that when you're in that bratish vibe and you're like, I don't care that I'm going to hurt in the morning. I'm going to tie you up so hard and you're going to love it. We love doing that because it's just fun. It's a bit of, it's a bit of fun. But there is a health and safety element. We have to, we're all trained. We can't even drink until we finish doing the rope watch. I think we have like one or two pints maybe, but we're very strict. We're like, we can't all get pissed because somewhere we've got shears in the background. So there's like behind the desk, there's like safety shears. So we can run and snip people out should we have to. Because obviously rope is replaceable. People are not. And then we also have to make sure licensing permits what we do. So especially if we were going to run an event where, like, say, nudity took place, which is the goal. We'd love to be able to get to the point where our socials are so big that we can close an event off. And that way we could allow people to walk around naked. Because some people, just nakedism is their thing. And I always feel bad when we're... at a fetish social and we tell people, oh, you can't come in if you're wearing jeans unless they're bleachers. Like, what you wear doesn't make you kinky. He says wearing a topless guy with a harness on his chest.
it just helps.
I look scared.
just one point that I'm going to just throw in here, because we mentioned booze and sort of bondage, just like, please make sure you don't get like over-intoxicated, that you are making mistakes and things, because, play responsibly, people.
Yes, you do need to be responsible when you're playing with people, because it can be...
Well, you can hurt someone.
I always try and avoid too much alcohol use with fetish wear, especially, like, it's fun with fisting, because especially when you're like myself and you're like sooty, sooty, Kermit, Miss Piggy, if you will, it's not really much of a problem. I trust my body to not hurt itself. But when it comes to things like restraints, you need to keep a level head, and especially because what if the worst happens? And that's the side a lot of people don't look at.
Yeah.
What if?
And that's the thing, that's just like one thing we always stress on the show is just like, please, like, just drink responsibly, play responsibly, etc. Like, know your limits. Like, bottom line is, like, you're in charge of your own safety. So, we've talked various times about like SSE and rack things. So,
Oh, yeah, right. So my mum found everything when I was younger, so she knows everything. And we'd be sat there over dinner, and she'd have looked it up. I think I've spoke to you, Chris, about this before. She'd have sat there looking things up on the internet while I'm at work, and we'll be there having a roast dinner. She's like, oh, Jonathan, I read this thing online today about breath control. And I'm sat there like... Mother! Pardon? What about breast control? Oh, well, you should never do it on your own because it could be really, really... And this can happen and that will happen. And the whole time I'm sat there melting into my plate. My dad is, like, looking at me like, what are you doing? What is she talking about? And I'm there like, oh, my God. I've gone so far away from the Jehovah's Witness upbringing that I had. Jehovah would be proud.
Oh my word. Okay then.
Sorry. this is where I'm going to get hate. This is just a disclaimer. They didn't write what I'm saying, so don't send them letters. Send them to me directly.
No, I realize that me saying all this, it does is a little bit sort of like the mother on the of the corner sort of thing, but it's just that thing of like, we have to point it out, like we're obliged to point it out because of certain laws, etc. So
yeah, consent is everything.
We should anyway.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, like, and I mean the thing is with Raw, it's fun. Like, it's all fun, and it should not ever put you in a situation that you don't want to be in.
Exactly.
So, you're responsible for your own safety. If you don't like something, tell someone to stop. Like,
yep.
Don't ever feel bad. Unfortunately, I feel like a lot of people, especially newbies on the scene, get that vibe that they can't ask what a safe word is, or they can't, they can't ask for their way out. Like, if you're about to be tied up and beaten mercilessly, you need to know how to get out of that. And
always have your safe word. Always discuss what you're willing to go up to.
And if some people might say, like, some people don't want them. I've met subs that don't want a safe word, but they will do something. For example, they normally agree so they might say, for example, I don't know if you can hear that on the. They might hit something and go, that's what I mean by no. That's when I flipped up.
Tap.
Me and Chris have discussed before non-verbal safe words and like all of this kind of thing. Like, as long as you have a way of communicating that you are either in distress or need to talk or that you need it to stop, just like it doesn't have to be anything more than that. You just need it to stop.
Yeah, and like something that I don't think gets said a lot, and we're going on to kink safety, and I love this. Something I think
that's all good.
Doesn't get said a lot is the Dom can use the safe word as well.
Exactly.
So yes, and it never gets spoken about, unfortunately. But like, for example, I've had someone around who I'm not the biggest pain giver. Okay, I can take a fair beating, but I've never. And I had this one guy come around, and he was like, "Oh, he saw all of the floggers and the cane and the bull whip and all this," and was like, "I really want you to use it on me." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, okay." I wasn't really in the right headspace for it because it's not really something I do. But I gave it a go. You know, I was more than willing to have that, and I'm there and properly go into that. I kind of started getting in the mood with it and whacking and tapping and whacking and halfway through I was like, I don't know what it was. I looked at his bum and was like, oh my god, that's I've ruined this man and sitting down for like there were bruises. There was like the proper, like, I mean, I got the cane out and there were bruises forming, and you know, and like sometimes blood seeps through and all this. He was still concerned, like we'd spoken about what his limits were, and he was fine with all of this. So, you know, just to clarify. But I then looked down and suddenly it's like dumb drop just kicked in, and I was like,
Yeah.
Oh my god, I've just absolutely obliterated this guy's bum.
And Chris will attest to this. Like, I've been in the middle of a session with Chris where it's just like I've either had him like tied up, or like we've been doing flogging, or a few different things. Yeah. And it's just been like perfectly fine. We'll be playing for an hour or so, and then all of a sudden I'll not be there. And it's just like, okay, I need to stop. I need that pause.
Yeah, I'm just.
I would be. It's fine. Okay.
I mean, it's always an awkward one. It's the sub when the Dom safe word, because you're kind of there like, and you're just lying there because they might need a minute. They're not going to immediately answer. Now, if the sub safe words, they immediately let you out. Like, it's like, I don't care. First of all, take the mouth, anything out the mouth, then the eyes, then you start, like, proper untying them or whatever. When the Dom kind of says it, the sub's just like, okay. Okay. I wish I could help you out now, but I'm tied up! So it's always a bit of an interesting one when you see that, but it's
but we do need to normalize it. It's the thing. You're absolutely right about that.
It's something that, you know, people always assume, and I don't know if you get this, Si, or you might have seen this as well, Chris. People always assume that subs or give their consent. Doms will always assume that they can do what they like to subs. At least I've seen this.
I've seen it.
I mean, I've
talked about this on the show.
Oh, we've talked. Oh, lovely. Good. That's a good thing. I should go back and start watching all of them, because I listen to a couple, but not many.
So speaking of community, like let's say we talk about newbies and experienced guys alike. Like, what do you think is something the community, whether it's from Bristol or elsewhere, can do to help support events apart from just turning up?
Well, I mean, that,
which is important.
I mean, it's kind of the thing is, I think, and as we're seeing, we're currently in an age where everything is going so quickly. Like, there's not a point where if 10, 20 years ago you'd have been like, oh, I'm going, it wasn't as easy as it is to get into fetish as it is now.
Mm.
And because of that, I feel like we need, as communities need an online presence. To support the communities, they've got websites. Register on their website, take an active interest. Unfortunately, we see things like Facebook and Twitter shutting us down. Not so much Twitter. Twitter, maybe.
Maybe in a bit.
But at this moment,
as it has stood before this moment.
I think what we've kind of done to try and make it, we tried to make it as easy as for people as possible to get in touch with Southwest Fetish Men. Like, if you don't use social media, you can join our website. If you don't want Facebook specifically, you can use Twitter and Instagram. We're currently setting up a WhatsApp group that we can just post event information into. So everyone has WhatsApp these days, or Telegram, or Reddit. We're just looking into all of these. But ultimately, if you're nervous about showing up to an in-person event, which everyone is at first, reach out to the event. What you'll find a lot of the time that we do, and I don't know if other groups do it because it's not something I do, I'm always at the venue at least an hour early, and we put it in our writing. We say, so the event starts at 5, I'll be there from 4. If you're new, come in your civilian wear. Like, we're a social.
Yep.
And what one thing that I think is a very big point to make, social events, we don't enforce a dress code. And most social events don't, as far as I'm aware, unless it's a closed party, like the weekend. But for most social events, they're just meeting up out of the blue and they're just going down the pub for a pint. Show up in your civilian wear if you're nervous, because I guarantee... But take some gear with you, because I guarantee an hour after being with them, and I guarantee that I actually promise people this, an hour after being there and just being around people in fetish wear that have just normalized it, you'll suddenly be sat there in your t-shirt and jeans and go, why the hell didn't I bring some?
But at the same time, like, if you don't have any.
If you don't have
like,
any,
come along. Be amongst your kin.
We bring spares. Like, I mean, one of the organisers, Carl. Carl is a big old rubber guy, gingerberry type, and he we swear it's a fetish. He loves putting people in gear and turning them into kinksterites. So, like, for example, when we're leaving the club sometimes, we have to do like 6 takes to get his gear back. Because, oh, hi. Yeah, I know we put this on you. It looks beautiful, by the way. Buy your own. And we're then like ripping it off of people. And as we're putting it back into the bag, he's taking it out and putting it back on people. But there was what I'd say, the point I'm making there before going on too many tangents is, like, ask people. I will always let someone try my gear on. If we're a similar build, I will always say absolutely. I will let you put some on, because it's an expensive commitment. My first thing was a tank top that cost 36 quid on eBay that I could wear with a pair of jeans.
I think mine was probably a 10-15 pound pair of cuffs that I got on wish.com of all places that still have held up for a good long time. I only recently got rid of them because this was back when, like, Wish was, like, weirdly cheap but weirdly okay quality if you did enough research, like, before it got flooded.
Yes, I've never had that.
This is going back a very long time.
I ordered some, like, rubber shorts from them, and they turned out to be rubber shorts for a Barbie doll. So they were, like, this big. I was like...
No way.
They were literally like this. They were like tiny. And I'd say arrived. They were in, like,
I don't
were
mean
in
to
envelope.
Offend you, but I don't think they're going to be proportioned for you.
They might tear. They might tear.
Just a bit.
So naturally, I put them on my teddy bear. I say that I had to buy a teddy bear for them to fit because I was like, well, I'm not wasting them. I'm not sending them back. It took 6 months for them to arrive, so I'm not going through that debacle.
Explain that one to Build-A-Bear.
Yeah, Build-A-Bear Witch. Oh, dear. It's I'm the noise sorry. It makes when you squeeze it you've got to worry about. It's just a bullwhip crack.
Right, and finally, John, where do people buy tickets?
Oh my lord, it's taken us so long to get here. It's not ticketed. You can literally go onto our Facebook page and see our event and click going and just show up, because we're not doing tickets anymore because we're not paying. It's not a paid event. So you can see. So we've got our public Facebook group. It's gone on our Twitter. It's gone on our Instagram. It's gone on our website. Mm-hmm. You'll see all the details there, and just click going. Or you don't even have to click going, because otherwise it might show up on your public profile. Just arrive. We'll be there, hopefully clad in shiny things to welcome you,
and we'll put links in the description and under the tweet, etc., on our socials, over to Southwest Fetish Weekend. Southwest Fetish Men. I got there eventually. So, like, if you're looking for kind of where to find these things, like, just have a look under there as well.
Hashtag SWFM. Yay.
So, I think that's most of the bag. But is there anything you want to add before we move into the 5 minute Marvel?
No, I don't think so.
Okie doke.
So, it's 5 minute Marvel now.
5 minute Marvel. So, John, I know you haven't quite caught up with it yet, but I kind of can't ignore what just happened in Moonlight.
Okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Fine.
Do you want to take a headset off?
Ahead for
no, fine.
Episode?
Go with it. I've heard, the reason I laugh is because my surname is Knight, and everybody in work has been like, Moonlight. and the dabbing has come back, and it just makes me die inside. Like, Moonlight, why are you dabbing?
Why are people dabbing for
why
Moonlight?
Are people dabbing to Moonlight?
It's because when I first joined the company, going back many moons ago, I used to love making people cringe by dabbing, and then I grew up. Oh. And then I grew up.
Okay, so this isn't a Marvel thing. This is just something. Okay. But, okay, so the last episode of... Well, okay, this is what? The penultimate episode of Moon Knight was a doozy.
I liked it.
I liked it, but it was heavy.
But this is now a lot better than, the first few episodes.
Well, this is what I was also going to say, because it's just like, this show has took far too long to get going. I'm sorry, but the first two episodes just dragged. They should have been trimmed way back. Like, you could have done that so much quicker. I still don't quite see where this is going to fit in the MCU.
No.
Although I did like the information that the different gods can see the planes of the other afterlives.
I know, that was
neat. That was cool.
The Black Panther Titan, that's neat.
I'm really liking the way they've handled the splitting. That was a really good way of demonstrating what splitting is, and like how for some people, this is not always the way it works, but for some people that works. Right, and the way that sort of different, I believe, I'll use the word personas. I apologize to anyone if I'm using the wrong word there, because I'm not quite sure what the correct word should be. But how different sort of personas are to deal with different things, basically, and or to have different roles. That was really well done.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows how this is going to end.
That's my worry. How are we going to end that? Because there is a third persona
There's
in
a
there
third
as
guy
well.
In there. Yeah.
That we've seen a glance of, but it was very blink and you'll miss it.
Yeah. Yeah. You might not even realise.
And you've got you 1 hour it. Episode to resolve all of the Conchu stuff and the third persona and...
If it's even 1 hour, like, most of the episode has been like 40 minutes like, and credits.
True.
But, yeah, if we get 1 hour.
Have there been any sneaky previews at the end of credits, or do I have to keep skipping? Because that's one thing I always have to do. I have to like fast forward to the end of the credits because I always miss out on the clues.
If there has, I've missed it.
No, there hasn't been.
There hasn't been. I'm really disappointed with Marvel on that. I normally live for those.
You know what? I'm glad though because the Marvel TV, well, I say TV, the Disney Plus stuff, like they have this weird habit of not doing it.
They did a lot of it
for so many episodes that they kind of condition you not to look for it, and then all of a sudden it'll be there.
Surprise, bitch!
And you end up missing it because you've been conditioned to not look for it because it's not been there.
Yeah, it's happened before. Well, there was that scene at the end of Winter Soldier.
And the very Falcon. Last episode of Loki had one in, didn't it?
The very last episode, I forgive it, because the very last episode, you kind of expect it akin to when the movies end.
Yeah.
It's when they do it mid-season that it always trips me up.
They did quite a few. However, if you hit pause, because if you're on the credits, if you click pause, you can normally see the last frame, and it's not, and you'll know just by doing that. It doesn't take... I'm sneaky like that.
I didn't know that.
So if you know when you click pause, it loads up all the frames across the bottom, and then you can reverse or you know whatever. If you click pause, all the frames pop up, and you'll see the very last frame will normally be.
I've never thought.
Don't
to
worry
do that.
About it. It's fine.
That's the countdown. Don't worry.
This is a countdown for 5 minutes.
One day we'll introduce a guest to that because we always seem to forget.
I was just there like. Is that my car? The mechanic's pissed. Oh my lord! I'm trying to talk through it.
Excelsior! Okay, no more Marvel.
Apologies, John.
Okay.
I thought Chris would have.
That's what that was. Sorry, it's just for the Marvel thing. There's me like. Do we run out of time? How do I finish off what I was saying across the whole thing in like a few seconds? R.I.P. It does sound like a car alarm though.
That was the 5 minute Marvel, perhaps one of our most fractured, so
chaotic,
far.
Well, split,
tangent.
Shall we move into joysticks then?
Sure.
What's on your joystick?
Me, I have been playing. Guess what? Dwarf Romantic.
Oh, okay, because you'd stopped playing that for a while.
I have stopped playing that for a while, and I just needed a bit of time to relax on game, and yeah, Dwarf Romantic is great for that. For context, like, Dwarf Romantic is a game, for people who haven't listened to the last few episodes that we talked about Dwarf Romantic, is a kind of a puzzle, not really a puzzle, but like a tile building game. So you started off with a central tile, you build out to various biomes, you build your towns, you build your villages, farms, etc. And they've had a few updates, new achievement, new tiles, etc. The UI is a lot better.
To be fair, the UI was never bad.
No, but you know how... In Dwarf Romantic, you need to, well, you don't need to, but it'll be better if you fit the tiles to the edges. And now it's a lot clearer. Before you put a tile, you hover the tile over. It gives you a glowing white edge or a red edge.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Now that is actually kind of cool, because sometimes, like, I remember there was like one or two, I guess, biomes, shall we call them? Where it's like it looked very similar at times, or with the villagers, you couldn't quite be sure whether that quite leaned into the next one. So yeah, that's actually really good.
Yeah. And have you played a creative mode yet?
I've messed with it, and I thought... So this is not a criticism of the game, because for some people it will absolutely work. For me personally, I thought I really wanted a creative mode. It didn't quite work for me, and I just think that's very much like... I kind of missed that element of trying to get it. Like, it, Dwarf Romantic kind of suited that almost perfectionist side of me, whereas the creative mode doesn't have that same pressure, I guess. Basically, I need a little bit of something pushing me to relax.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that with Age of Empires whenever I play. I mean, I'm one of those people that just plays Age of Empires 3. I'm not that big a gamer. I can already hear the annoyed ticks of everyone that plays decent games. Like, oh, you call that a game. But
hey,
Age of Empires was a great
game. You play
what
you play. Like, we've covered some really like weird stuff on here as well. So,
have you done Amnesia: Descent into the Dark?
No, I've seen enough of that game to know that is not a game I should play.
Oh, really? I did that. I played that, and everyone was like, "Oh, you have to play it in the dark."
No, I'm good. I did not.
My surround sound on. I had the TV screen going. And I was there like, "Oh, this is great." Nope. I developed a complex.
I am more than happy to put my hand up and go, you know what? I can happily be flogged. I can happily have any number of like CBT and things done to me. I do not do horror.
Really?
Because the thing is, I can deal with like actual pain and things that I can put my finger to. The horror genre stuff is the stuff that gets in your head and you can't get it out of your head once it's in there. And that does not work for me. I am more than happy to just leave that there.
Yeah. For those that probably don't know, I suppose, Amnesia: Descent into the Dark, which is quite an old game now. I think it's 2007?
Something like that,
It's quite an old game now. But basically, you play a character who takes... At the very beginning, you take an amnesia pill. And you forget everything. And literally, the opening scene is him going, right, my name is... and I can't remember his name, so John Smith. John Smith, and I'm in California, that's it. And you have to just figure the rest out. And then you realise that everything is fucked up, and the reason he's... you're kind of going, yeah, I'd take the amnesia pill as well. Stop figuring it out. Go ahead and enjoy your life without forgetting. Like, without the memories. Sorry, carry on. Discuss.
No.
You're going on about your joysticks. What is the game you're playing, Chris?
It's called Dorf Romantic. So Dorf is the German word for a village.
Doesn't it like literally translate as like lovely village or lovely country or something like that?
Yeah, probably.
It's a beautiful little game. It really is.
That's it.
That's the one.
I'll have a look at it. I'll have a look.
John, what, apart from Age of Empires? Have you been playing Age of Empires?
Age of Empires, Rollercoaster Tycoon. However, I think 2 is better than 3.
Nice.
I always find that the older versions of these games are better because they haven't overcomplicated it. Like,
and they haven't fallen into microtransaction territory.
So Age of Empires 2. Age of Empires 3 is okay. Like, you can't really buy any extra things. Like, they brought out the extension packs. I think you had Asian Dynasties and Wood Chiefs or something. Chief, like, so you could do, like, Native American people.
Can't remember.
You could do Asian Dynasties, which is Chinese, Japanese, Indian, that sort of thing. And then you just had the usual ones, like the usual Age of Empires. So you could be like Queen Elizabeth or Ivan the Terrible and all of these people. But I don't know. It's in that game, I feel like they've just overcomplicated it. There's too much that you can focus on in one game. which is fine, but Age of Empires isn't one that, it's not a game where you would buy it and you start a game and then you save it and you come back to it and you save it, you come back to it. If I start a war, you bet I'm finishing that before I go to bed. If it's going to take me 5 hours, it's going to take me 5 hours, but I am going to win.
You see, this is why I stopped playing Civ.
Yeah,
see, because I couldn't step away from it, and I was like, I started playing Civ like near the start of my university career. Very quickly realized this was not a sustainable game for me to play, because once I got going, I'd like, if entire faction hadn't been eradicated off the map, so I wasn't going to sleep.
Kind of like me when the flogger comes out. I might look at the flogger and be like, oh, for goodness sake, not that again. But give it a couple hits, and I'm then like, don't stop hitting me. No, but my arm's tired. Yeah, I've not used my safe word. Carry on. You've not used your safe word yet, hun, so keep going. Oh, I shouldn't. Right.
Sai, joystick.
So this week it's been a mixture of Sea of Thieves again, because they've got a short-term event going on, which will have ended by the time this comes out, so I'm just going to skip straight over that. Tiny Tina's Wonderland, which has been very interesting experience. Anyone who knows the name Tiny Tina will know immediately, but for those that don't, it's a Borderlands spin-off, and it is based on they call it Bunkers and Badasses as opposed to Dungeons and Dragons, but it's their take on a D&D style like fantasy world within the Borderlands world. The classes in there are incredibly interesting in terms of the way that they do it. Like, you've got different you've got analogies for, like, your undead, your bards, your wizards, and so on and so forth. As you go through, like, you've got, like, the Dungeon Master narration coming from Tiny Tina, complete with, like, the ridiculous, everything from the ridiculous fetch quests that you can get in D&D to, like, the big bad, like, being voiced in a very interesting way at times, because sometimes it'll switch to the table view where it's Tiny Tina's talking, and then other times it will be the actual voiceover that they're using to represent this character. And it gets a bit metagame at times. You're playing a quest at the behest of Princess Butt Stallion, a horse made of diamonds.
Made of diamonds.
Yep. this is a joke
the
that goes back to
board... diamonds.
This is
Sorry,
a joke that goes back to Borderlands 2 when Handsome Jack bought a pony made entirely of diamond, and nicknamed it Butt Stallion after your character in Borderlands 2.
Interesting.
it's an interesting thing. There's a collectible in each. Well, there's multiple collectibles in each level. But the one that always amuses me is that, like, there's D20s you can find in the world. I have yet to roll a D20. I've rolled some D1s, which has always screwed me. But I've yet to roll a D20.
So how do you roll a D1?
A natural one and a natural 20. Okay. My apologies.
That doesn't exist.
They don't exist. I don't know. There's D&D.
Yes.
No, I would. A D1 implies a one-sided dice.
Yeah,
which
I meant
you can't have,
one, which is a critical failure. It's not without its controversies. What I would say to you is, I managed to get the game at about a 22-ish% discount because of cashback. If you can do something like that, or you can pick it up on sale, that's when I'd pick it up. Not to say it's a bad game, just it's had some problems with its DLC. There are flaws. I'm not going to lie, there's flaws in there, but it's nothing that stops me massively when enjoying the game. Just like little things here and there that just make me raise an eyebrow a little bit, you know? If you're on the fence about it and you're not sure it's your thing, wait for a sale. If you really enjoyed the DLC for Borderlands that was based around D&D, I think it was Borderlands 2 had that DLC. You'll enjoy this. And so it very much depends which camp you fall in as to whether I'd say pick it up full price or pick it up on sale.
Yeah. I don't really understand Borderlands much. So
it's an acquired taste. It is an acquired taste.
So, okay.
It's a good game. Borderlands is one of those series that's much better with friends. So,
fair enough.
You know.
Fair enough.
But I think that's everything.
I think that's everything.
So, John, is there anything that you want to plug, throw out there? Last things to say, last tangents to have, etc. before we round the show out?
Are you sure you want to ride this train? <'Cause> I think we've discovered that I'm a bit of a tangent queen. No, not so much tangents. I'll leave it really simple. Southwest Fetish Bands, really looking for, like, we're just going into our first proper year. We've just been officially inaugurated. So come check us out, southwestfetish.co.uk. Make an account, email us, give us your ideas. Literally, we're a brand new club that we're just figuring out what you want to do and how you want to go about it. So it's a really exciting time to really get involved in the community. If you guys want to be involved, we know we're actively saying, if you want to come and run an event with us, come and run it. Like, we'll support you as best we can. Come and help out if you want to, or just come along to the event.
Nice. Chris, any final thoughts before we leave?
You can find us on social media as TBNJ Podcast, and you can leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/TBNJ Podcast.
Indeed. And if you are listening on a platform that will allow you to give us a rating, we would really appreciate it. Not going to ask you which one to give us, just give us an honest rating. Any rating helps. But with that, we have been Teabags and Joysticks. I have been Cy.
I've been Chris.
Special thanks to John for joining us today, and we shall see you next time. Bye.
Bye. This episode is edited by TBNJ Chris. Our guest is Jonathan from Southwest Fetishman. Our sample comprises royalty-free audio. The opening and ending music is Caught a Conundrum by DOAK. Thank you for listening to Teabags and Joysticks.
My mum has seen my asshole take a fist. Believe me, anyone that's had their mum do that, they're going to be fine.
Here's the problem. I want to ask context to that, but I also don't.
My mum, you know I said earlier my mum does research about what I'm into? Well, she started looking up fisting videos, and there's a video of me online, and it's not me, okay? She can't see my face, but it's like me from here down. And she was like, oh, have you seen this? And she shows me this video. And I'm sat there in my head going, that's my tattoo. That's me. That's my arsehole. My mum's looking at me. But meanwhile, I'm just sat there like, oh my God, yeah. I can't imagine anyone doing that to me.
That's not something else.
You know, that happened. That was a thing. So anyone that's been through that, I'm not going to care what I say to people.